We'll see. Okay, so this inyan that we're going to be discussing or just looking at the words of the Rebbe on was given over on Sunday of last week. So Yom Aleph Parshas Vayetze, Tav Shin Pei Gimel. This shir was recorded. It's a shir that the Rebbe gives on Nesiv Mitzvah Secha from the Kamarna Rebbe. The Kamarna Rebbe is good. Kamarna Rebbe wrote a sefer Nesiv Mitzvah Secha, which the Rebbe has been learning through in addition to learning through the Sugyos and Otzros Chaim with it. It is a fundamentally important sefer. Nesiv Mitzvah Secha goes through Inyanim of Yichud, Inyanim in Emuna, Inyanim in Yichudim, Inyanim of Torah Lishma. And what I heard recently was somebody who came straight to the Rebbe to ask them how to be Makusher to the Rebbe when they were in Chutz Laaretz, and the Rebbe, who usually says to learn some of his Torah, said learn Nesiv Mitzvah Secha. So Nesiv Mitzvah Secha is a sefer that's very, very much shayach to the aura of the Rebbe's Torah. So after going through various inyanim in terms of overcoming kas and overcoming different experiences of emotional discrepancies, specifically within a person's home, and how in accordance with the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the essential sign, the litmus test that one has to have with regards to their spiritual standing is the level in which they can handle their midos, tovos, or midos ra'os in relationship to their family. So whether it's kas or withholding from kas. And the Rebbe continues and he spends time describing how be'emes, what a person has to find, is a deep simcha be'etzem ha'zichia she'zoicha le'hispalel. Right? So by way of describing the willingness or the pathway as to how to overcome anger, how to overcome this tendency towards frustration, which very often comes about when things don't go in accordance with my will, right? Anger is very often a response to the fact that things have not gone the way I expected them to go, and anger is an attempt to overcompensate, to show a strength that I don't truly have, because I feel powerless in that point. So what is the Eitzah? So the Rebbe says as follows, Rav Hirsch Lezidichaver Kosov, Rav Hirsch Lezidichaver wrote, She'ikr hu liyos sameach b'shas tfilaso, that in order to overcome anger, a person has to learn the secret of being happy during their davening. Va'az ein hu noifel liyeshos u'pnios chas v'shalom. When a person finds simcha in their avodas Hashem, whether it's tefillah or Torah, that's the way they're going to be saved from yeshos, a sense of self, or an overwhelming sense of pride or egoism, and any of the externalizations that a person falls into. And what's the beer on this? Why is this simcha in tefillah the way to break free from anger? She'im b'shas tefillaso kol magmasa b'tefillaso hu lipalas yeshuaso bilvad, that if in my davening my only desire is to bring about the Yeshua that I'm searching for, to bring about the personal redemption that I'm seeking, I'm continuing to be stuck in that yeshus. I'm continuing to be stuck in that sense of self, which is again rooted in that kas, because the more attached I am to myself, the more I need my way to be the way that the world sees things, the more frustrated I'm going to get, because the more expectations I have is the birthplace of resentment, as opposed to letting go of the self, which is the birthplace of comfort. As kol simchaso tliya b'yeshua, if I'm only happy and I'm only excited when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashlim my tefillah, if that's the only simcha I'm going to have, so then it's an ava shetliya b'davar. Then I'm only feeling in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm only feeling the joy when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me what I expect Him to give me. L'chein ein hu sameach b'tfila atzma. And that's not a joy that emerges from the experience of tefillah itself. That's a joy that is contingent and dependent upon the response to the tefillah. But a joy that is dependent on nothing other than the experience itself, that is the Eitzah to be Yoytze Mekaas. V'yesh achiza shel kitrog al tfilaso. If I'm oiches, if I'm stuck in this idea that I'm only happy if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me what I'm asking for, so then that's a contingent type of happiness. Ha'im ro'i hu liyashur. And it's dependent on whether I'm deserving of it. And at that point, I fall into machshava zaros upnius v'yeshus. When it's about me, that's when I begin to be stuck in the ego. When I begin to be stuck in the ego, that's when I begin to be resentful and frustrated when things don't go the way I want them. Ach im sameach be'etzem haschus shezoyche v'oymed b'tfilah. But if I uncover the secret of joy that exists within the very simple fact that I merit to stand in prayer in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in front of the Creator of the world, umispala lefanav, Shebazet filaso zacha leloyachiz v'kitrug. At this point, this simcha is one that is free from any of the egoisms that come along with the demand to get my way, and if I don't get my way, I fall into the kas towards the people that I love most. It's when I have no expectation, when all I desire is the tefillah itself, there's no room for kitrug there. At that point, I don't fall into pnios, I don't fall into self-interest, and I don't fall into the machshavos of almenas lekabel pras, and I don't fall into this contingency, this contingent need for Hashem to give me what I want in order for me to be happy. And I free myself from the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes me anything, or that I need to be answered in my tefillah. The Kfar Hizir Bazah Shulchan Aruch, and the Rebbe says the Shulchan Aruch already was masbir the need to save ourselves from this broke down tefillah where it's dependent on Yeshua. And this is in Simen Sadiches Sif Hey. Al Yachshov, says the Shulchan Aruch, a person should not think, Ra'ui hu she'ya'aseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kashaso kevan shekivamti b'tfilasi, that I am deserving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilling my desires because I have focused and had attention in my tefillah. Ki adarabah, zeh mazkir avinoisav shel adam, by demanding, by expecting, by being stuck in the resentment-oriented desire for things to be what I need, that's where the frustration, that's what brings up my self-interest and all of the difficulties that come along with that. Because if I'm saying, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you owe me something, then in Shemayim they're going to say, yeah, let's see if he owes you something. Should be b'derech bittul. A person should believe that my tefillah is not the reason that I'm being answered. Tefillah is the mechanism which draws down the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By enunciating the words of tefillah, the matbea shenitva al yidei anshei kneses hagadola, it's a segula. It's a segula. To daven, to find simcha in the davening itself, that's the segula to being mamshech down chasadim. And a person should say in their hearts, to their hearts specifically, mi ani, who am I, dal v'nibse, who am I to stand in front of the Rabbanu Shalom and ask anything if it were not for the unbridled chesed, grace, and compassion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that way, I'm not getting caught up in self-interest, and when I don't get what I want, I'm not going to be resentful, I'm going to free myself from the circuitous path that leads to anger. And as we said, the ikar way to be magdir, person's avoide, is how they act in their home, how my anger manifests itself in my home. Simcha v'bitachon ha'hoichem yachtav. The simcha and bitachon that go together. Sarich lismoich b'chol dibor v'dibor. A person has to find and uncover a deep joy within each and every word, each and every utterance. Shezichel espalel lefanav yisparach. Every utterance, every enunciation. V'sameach v'yivtach b'akadosh baruch hu. And a person should find joy and to have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'pasach sheyesh b'pamayim ki. Right? Ki bo yismach libenu, ki b'shem kadsho batachnu. The pasuk says, ki bo yismach libenu, because my heart was glad with him, ki b'shem kadsho batachnu. So we see Rav Uri Mistralich says that bitachon and simcha are hinged upon each other. That the more simcha I have is rooted in the more bitachon I have, and the more bitachon I have is expressive of the simcha that I have. So the reason that I'm going to be answered in my tefillah is not because of my schluyos, it's not because I'm deserving of this or that, but it's because I am ma'amik my das, like we spoke about last week, in the Maimer on Parshas Vayetze, I mamik my das into the bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it's explained in the Tzaddikim, is to be living with such a deep attachment to Amunah, such a deep attachment to the truth of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this world, that it's as if the redemption has already arrived for me in this moment. And I can already be mesameach myself, ki'ilu the Yeshua has already come, even if the Yeshua has not come yet. That's the power of bitachon, to live as if the future has already arrived, in spite of the fact that the future has not yet arrived. This is the secret of Shir HaShirim, the Rebbe says in Parshas Vayetze, Tavshanayin Gimel, that Shlomo HaMelech was able to bring down the Or of Geula prior to Geula, whereas the Tzvar HaMor pointed out, it's the Yeshua that the Isha B'leidaso feels. It's the woman in the moment of birth who's screaming out in pain, yet is already aware of the joy and the gladness that will emerge afterwards, and that joy and gladness that is rooted in the future, not yet present, is expressive itself in the present moment in spite of the fact that it hasn't happened yet. That's where the Bitachon is my Simcha, and the Simcha is more bitachon. Ha'atzvus geremes harchakam Hashem Yisparuch mehashpa'asai ha'toiva. Sadness pushes a person away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the expressive light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hinei ayidei ha'simcha shesameach ba'yisparach, through the joy that we find within HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not within what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me, not within what I expect from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the essential joy in Hashem Yisbarach, shezoich la'amud lefanav, because I merit to stand in front of Him, medavik atzmal el olamos kadoshim v'tovim. Zok the Rebbe, by that simcha itself, I makasha myself to the beautiful and good worlds. Again, the Rebbe brings down very often how Rav Yankel of Peshvorsk, who was one of the Rebbe's main mashpiyim, the Rebbe spent about a year and a half by Rav Yankel of Peshvorsk, and he was makabel a lot in his derech ha'avoda, as the Rebbe has said explicitly, and Rav Yankel of Peshvorsk would always bring up that the Lev Simcha of Gur went to visit the 7th Lubavitcher Rebbe, and they had a conversation as to what the essential chiddush of Teres HaChassidus was. And Rav Yankel pointed out that the Lev Simcha and the Lubavitcher Rebbe both agreed that the Iker Hagdasha was on Simcha. That the Iker Hagdasha of Teres HaChassidus was the capacity to live in Simcha. But the Hagdara was as follows. It wasn't a Simcha that takes place as a result of some occurrence or in anticipation of some occurrence. It was a Simcha rooted in nothing other than Simcha. It was a non-dependent form of joy that emanated from within the self by dint of the fact that I am Zoicha to be Nishmas Yisrael, that I am Zoicha to not be a goy, that I am Zoicha to be a person who stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that simcha, because it's not dependent on anything, cannot be erased at any point. And a person can always uncover that secret of kibas simcha teitzeyu. This is what the tzaddikim are masbir, the Rebbe's masbir this as well, when the Arizal says that everything he was Zoicha to was through simcha, it wasn't a simcha shetliya bedavar. It wasn't a simcha that came about through hasaga, but rather it was an obstinate simcha, a demand towards simcha, the simcha that Rabbi Nachman teaches us about. And when I demand simcha from myself, that's the mafteach to be megala the hasaga. So it's not that I have a hasaga, I have some grasp of something, and then I have simcha. It's that I have simcha, and as a result of my simcha, I'm zoicha to hasagos. So when a person finds that essential simcha, they enter into worlds of kedusha, and they're mamshich alav hakadosh baruch hu kol tov bederech olamos elu. That simcha and bitachon, as the tzaddikim point out, and as the Rebbe's magdir over and over, it's a segula. The bitachon is a mechanism that accesses the light that needs to be drawn down. How? Through bitachon. Haboteach ba'Hashem chesed yisovevenu. Through the mechanism of bitachon, through living as if the Yeshua is already here, my mind accesses the light of the Rabbanu Shleilam, and it actually draws down that shefa. Rav Avram ben Rav Nachman in the Likutim in the back of Bir HaLikutim says explicitly that bitachon is the secret of the way that we draw down the shefa of what we want to be boteach in. That the bitachon is not a sense in response to some mood. It is the thing that is magdir the mood itself. It is a thing that a person can access no matter whether they feel it or not. It's a mechanism, and that's where the simcha is going to come from. And that's where we draw down the light. But if a person is not capable of understanding the tremendous schus that's in front of them, and they don't find joy in the capacity to be mekushet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather they find themselves stuck in self-interest and frustrated with resentments and anger because they haven't gotten their way of nichnas la'atzvus chas v'shalom, and they fall, God forbid, into sadness. Hari medavik atzmol el olama shel din. Sadness again. The sadness, again, we're not talking about clinical depression, we're not talking about moods that are beyond the person's control, but a sadness that comes from egocentricity, that comes from a stuckness within my way, and anytime the world doesn't give me what I want, I feel resentful or broken over it. That type of sadness is not only a negative experience, but by being stuck in that place, I'm connecting to a darker place. That if things look dark for me, then they'll continue to be dark. And the more I get into that darkness, the more I'm mamshich darkness onto myself. Because, as we're going to see, what the ikar nekuda of what we're going to discuss tonight is the power of the machshava. That, as the Baal Shem Tov taught us, that a person is where their machshava is. If my machshava is besimcha, as we know that besimcha is osios machshava, it's the same root and the same letters, because joy is a state of mind, so to speak. But the same is true lehepech chas v'shalom, that if I'm attached to darker areas in my life, then I'm going to attach myself to darker areas. There were tzaddikim who said not to learn the drushim of shvira, not to learn the drushim of shvira sakelim in the Arizal too extensively, because where a person attaches their thoughts is where they're going to draw from.
Could you say, though, that it would be important to have a healthy balance? Because how could we really experience simcha if we never knew what sadness was?
Bevadai. Sadness is a natural element of human experience, but a sadness that emerges spontaneously as a result of human experience versus kind of finding a nice soft spot, a blanket of sadness to settle into, because I want to live in that self-loathing or that kind of self-negative space. That's what the Rebbe is talking about not entering into. To nuzzle oneself into that soft, because there's a certain comfort that a person finds when they're in a state of self-loathing. They don't have to be active. They can rest in that broke-down palace, right? So the natural proclivity towards sadness that a person experiences in this life, that's not necessarily an active bechira. That's an emotional experience. And that's something that we have to understand in order to be mitgaber, to uncover simcha. But the base level of the things that I can control is creating a baseline of simcha. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So within the experience of simcha, so I can experience a deviation away from simcha and then an elevation back up to simcha. But if I ever leave the world of simcha completely, so then I find myself already lost. I believe this is very much what Rabbi Nachman was magdir. Rabbi Nachman was not saying that a person is never going to feel sadness in their lives. He's saying that you can never allow for even a second the frame of your experience to be anything but simcha. Because once you experience sadness within the frame of simcha, okay, so now you're forcing sadness into the dance of simcha. But if you're no longer in the realm of simcha and you find yourself in the makif of sadness, that's already tachas ashelo evadata shasham lekecha b'simcha b'tuv levav. Right? How could a person be punished for not having simcha? It's an emotional discrepancy. Elema, it's the way that I choose to see the world. It's the glasses that I put on in the beginning of the day.
Your purpose not translating the word simcha, but to what it is.
Simcha, I mean, this is already, simcha is, I would say first and foremost, it's not what most people assume simcha to be, right? It's not necessarily associated with a physiological pleasure, right? So that's first and foremost, that simcha needs, the joy needs to be separated from the concept of pleasure, right? Because pleasure is one thing and joy is one thing. I think that simcha, the way that I've understood it, or the way that, you know, I've understood it, nothing more, nothing less than that, is that simcha is very much like the attitude of bitachon. It's a willingness to live one's life as if everything is mushlam, in spite of the fact that it's not shalim. Right?
So Maharal says... They're intertwined, so they're different.
They're different, right. They're different, because bitachon is what leads a person to simcha. Bitachon is what leads a person to simcha. The simcha that I can feel, in spite of the fact that the Yeshua is not here right now, is as a result of bitachon. But Maharal says simcha is shleimus. But we know from all tzaddikim that shleimus is an impossibility. And we also know from Chazal, ezehu ashir hasameach b'chelko. One who is rich is one who is glad with their lot, their peace. A chelik is the opposite of shleimus. So how does it shtim? Elema, that simcha, we can say, is a feeling of being in a state of shleimus in spite of the fact that I'm not in a state of shleimus. It's looking at my life in accordance with what it is, not what it should be, not what it was, not idealizing or trying to struggle with resentments, this or that, seeing things as they are, and seeing it that in this moment, alts is good, everything is okay. And in that moment, a person experiences a feeling of simcha, a feeling of calmness and presence within the self, not needing to run anywhere, not needing to chase anything.
It's a state of being.
It's a state of being. It's a state of being. It's an emotion, and it's also a mindset. It's a way of looking. It's a calmness at the heart of all things. And it's also a willingness to live with this light of bitachon, which is seeing the future as if it has arrived in spite of the fact that it hasn't arrived yet. But the Rebbe is going to go into a very important hagdara. That's why I wanted to go over this year, because he's pushing back against a misconception in terms of what we think about when we think about thinking, really.
Are you going to get deeper into with this concept of
So that's the Inyan Bitachon. That's the Inyan Bitachon, which we discussed a little bit in a previous week. It's not going to be the Nakuda that we're going to focus too much on tonight, because it expands into various places. But suffice it to say that Dimyon and imagination and sacred imagination and rectifying the imagination to live in a space of Ki'ilu, to live in a space of as if things were a certain way, in spite of the fact that the external casings of my life are not that way, is the secret of kind of holy pretending. The Tzaddikim spoke about this all the time. That a person has to, when the Rambam brings down the halacha, that when a person stands in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the first bracha of Shemona Esrei, it has to be doyme loy ki'ilu oymid lefnei amelech, as if they're standing in front of the king. Well, everybody spends all the time in the world discussing extra words in the Rambam, but they're not talking about this extra word ki'ilu. If I'm standing in front of the king, why does it say ki'ilu as if I'm standing in front of the king? Elama, ki'ilu is a mechanism. When Chazal say ke'ilu, when they say something is as if I'm learning Mishnayos Kodshim, it's as if I was makir v'korban, there's two ways of looking at that mechanism of as if, as pretending. One is that, okay, ideally I should be able to bring a korban, I can't bring a korban, so b'di'eved, on a secondary level, I'm going to learn the Mishnayos, even though it's not the way it really should be. So then I'm splitting life into an ideal and a real, and I'm stuck within the space between the two of them. But if I look at what Chazal are saying with the mechanism of Ki'ilu, that it's mamish working like that, that by learning Mishnayos Kodshim, I am mamish engaging in the function on a spiritual level of Hakravas HaKorban. At that point, the Liman HaMishnayos is the experience of being Makrav Korban. The Ki'ilu is a state of authentically faking something, as opposed to trying to fake authenticity. But again, it goes, they're meandering terms, and I don't want to get too caught up because I want to go to the Ikar Nekuda of what the Rebbe is bringing out in the shir that he gave. So after discussing how, where a person's mind finds themselves, if I'm in a state of simcha, I'm mamshich simcha. If I'm in a state of sadness, I'm mamshich sadness. So we see already a hint towards the power of chasidus, that the power of machshava expressed in chasidus, that the mind is a reality, right? That the mind, what I think, becomes part and parcel of my reality. And this is an idea that is a very powerful one, because now instead of basing my life on the external circumstances of my life, I can simply regulate myself to determine the value of my life based on my internal circumstances. And you see this in Chabad, you see this in Breslov, you see this in Musar, you see this in Lita, you see this in all of the places. But the Rebbe is coming to be Mechazek, a very, very important Nekuda here. A very important. And he says as follows, Amnan, a person has to understand, Ein lachshov veloimar. A person should not think and say she'etzem hamachshavos hatovos yesh bekocham ha'atzmi lahamshich alav shefatov. A person should never come to the mistaken belief that the good thoughts themselves have the essential power to draw down goodness into my life. This is a foreign notion. This is a notion of the nations of the world. This is a notion of, and again, the Rebbe, when he's referring to foreign techniques of meditation, foreign techniques of kind of contemplation for the sake of drawing down Shefa, one of the unique things, one of the many unique things about the Rebbe is that the Rebbe has spent a lot of time investigating and searching and identifying these different zramim of whether it's alternative spirituality, whether it's influenced by Eastern spirituality, whether it's kind of magical orientations towards thinking or kind of orientations towards the secret of thinking, which is the power of attraction, v'chule v'chule, manifesting, all of these different ideas which have become very popular and for good reason because they offer a person their world in their days. The Rebbe here is saying that it's very important for us to be aware the thing that is mamshich, the Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into my life is not my thought. But I'm sorry. The thing that's mamshech the light into my life is not my thought. My thought is mamshech HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my life, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is mamshech the good into my life. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed the koyach of machshava in my mind. The koyach of machshava is a way of engaging with the light of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. When I engage with the light of the Rabbanu Shel Olam through my machshavos, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's mamshech the tova. Not that if I think strong enough about something, my thoughts are such a metzius ruchani, God forbid, that they themselves can be mamshech the tov.
The machshava is just a kli.
The machshava is mamish just a kli. It's as simple as that, but it's as delicate as it comes, because a person can think, if my mind is so powerful and I can draw down this shefa, then it's my mind that becomes the place of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and almost like identifying my mind with godliness, so to speak. Or the misunderstanding of chelek eloi kai mimal, mamish, to think that there's mamish like this piece of God in me. Now, avada, we are all part and parcel of God and included within the infinite light of God. But to come to think that one's own thoughts are godly in the sense that they can be mamshech shefa, devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a kfira gemura, says the Rebbe. V'kfira be'amunas Yisrael. Right, to believe that the mind itself can draw down Shefa without the mind engaging with HaKadosh Baruch Hu first and foremost as the source of Shefa is a kfira. She'ein shum koyach biladav yisparach chas v'shalom. There's no strength in the world other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'shum panim, at all. No matter how big a tzaddik is, how gross a tzaddik is, how tremendously holy an individual is, there's absolutely nothing that has the power to draw down Shefa other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a klal gadol in everything, klal gadol in the Eitz Chaim, in the Rashash, and all of the tzaddikim, that the only thing capable of being mamshich a hamshacha from Or Ein Sof is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing else. Nothing has the capacity to draw that down. V'loy shel oylam, right? There's no power to any thoughts. There's no power to any worlds. Loy shem koyach acher mikoyches hamazalos v'ateva. There's no power other than some celestial forces. None of it exists. The only thing that exists is the Rabbanu shel Olam. And then the Rebbe continues to give kind of explanations as to why a person has to be careful about reading certain books that don't necessarily make this distinction very clear, and how this is a very easy kind of mistake to fall into. And the Rebbe goes into the halachos of Avodah Zarah, and the Rebbe spent a lot of time being mevara these inyanim very clearly. And the Rebbe continues and he says as follows, "B'inyan koyach kedusha samachshava," with regards to the power of thought, "Uma sha'amru b'chabad," and what they've said in Chabad, right? Because now we're seeing that it's not the thought that transformed the scenario, it's the thought that is mamshech the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that transforms the scenario. Again, bittel. Right? So the Rebbe says, "Uma sha'amru b'chabad," and what they say in Chabad, "Trach gut, v'zayin gut," think good and it will be good. I believe it was a statement from the Rebbe Rayatz. I believe it was a statement from the Tzemach Tzedek, rather. Trach gut v'zayin gut, again, which many people have misunderstood, that it's my thinking that draws the good into my life. That by thinking positively, I draw positivity into my life. Kilu, that the hamshach of positivity comes from anywhere but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give some metzias to my thinking. So the Rebbe says, Shezehu emes v'nachon. It's very true that when a person thinks good, things are going to be good. And there's a hint to that in this week's parsha, in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu says, Ve'ata amarta hetiv, as I hate the vimcha. You said it would be good, and therefore it's going to be good. So the implication is that the way you speak, the way you think, the way you focus your mind, it can draw down the thing you're focusing on, which again is that very delicate boundary between thinking that it's my machshava itself, my sense of self, that draws down the light, versus my thinking that connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who then draws down the light. Rak says the Rebbe, Shezeh ba machmas mitzvos habitachon. The power of thinking, the capacity of thought to draw down shefa, is not because the machshava has a koyach b'fnei atzmo chas v'shalom, but it's because when I am invested so deeply in a space of bitachon, of trach gut, v'zayin gut, by thinking good, it will be good, because I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides the best for me, through the midah of bitachon. Bitachon, we said, is the mechanism that's mamshech the or. Batach, that it's Habotech b'Hashem chasid yisavivenu. Through bitachon, I draw down the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheboteach v'toile es atzmo b'rachme Hashem. At that point, I have enough trust, and I place myself in the rachmim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that draws down the good. But it's not that my thinking itself is what draws down the good. Ach lo mitzad ha-machshava ba'atzmo, sheyesh le-machshava eza kayach atzmi. It's not that my mind or my neshama has some self-existing thing that draws down shefa into it. God forbid, that's anoichius in the greatest way, that's ego in the strictest sense, right? It's that it's through the bittel to the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that draws down the shefa. It's not the koyach of my machshava. It's the koyach of my machshava where I can access bitachon in a strong enough way to draw down the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chein masha amu Rabbeinu Zal, and Rabbi Nachman says a similar idea that gets misinterpreted. He says in Sichos Haran Ois Samach Beis, amasha amu b'gemara Sanhedrin, machshava moeles, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chafvav Amud Beis, Chafvav is Shem Havaya, right? It says that a thought is valuable, a thought is enough, implying once again for many people that by thinking a certain way, I'm mamshich shefa into my life, right? As opposed to thinking and connecting my thoughts to the Rabbanu Shel Olam and the Rabbanu Shel Olam drawing down that shefa into my life. Kolaymar she'amachshava yesh lekoyach mamashi. Rabbeinu says that he implies that there's an actual strength to the thought. The thought is something that draws something down, ki'ilu. Laham she'chasadav she'choshev bo. That I have a power in thinking to draw down the thing that I think about. And this is where we get into the laws of attraction and manifesting and all of these different languages that become so popularized, which the Rebbe takes seriously enough to push back against. There are tshuvos written by the Rebbe, famously, going through all of the different shitos of what's considered mutter, what's not considered mutter, in terms of spirituality. And trying to clarify for so many people who have gotten stuck in various forms of Eastern expressions of spirituality that have not infiltrated, but made their way into the misconception that we have, where we begin to think that there's the sense of anoichius, that my thoughts or my thinking is strong enough to be poil something. Adraba, ibcham estaba, my thoughts are only capable of being boteach b'Hashem, and by being boteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can be mamshech that rachamim. So what does Rabbeinu mean? K'may shamatzin al-inyan godel hazihiros b'machshava b'Rosh Hashanah, right? One of the examples that Rabbi Nachman gives about the power of thought is that a person should not have a single negative thought on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the new year, it's Magdir the entire year, and if you have Machshavas Ros, then there's going to be a Hamshach of something negative, God forbid. So the implication again is that it's possible to think that, okay, it's the thinking that is doing the trick here, and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But it certainly is, because if you don't think, you know, the Kli or the
Shefa. Bevadai, the thinking, the Machshava is essential. The Machshava is essential, but it's not because the Machshava is a Koyach B'fnei Atzmo that has the capacity of being Mamshach the Shefa.
That's self-evident. Kind of a Captain Obvious statement.
I think that this, halavai, it should be a Captain Obvious statement, right? Halavai, people should be aware of this. But I think that what the Rebbe is pointing out here, and it's something that it's rooted in a misunderstanding with everything we've been discussing about. A person who thinks they could chap atzmos, a person who thinks that they could have a sense of self devoid of the annihilating light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is also capable of falling into the pitfalls of identifying their mind alone with the source of the Shefa. And thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in their mind, so to speak. And that's through the power of my mind that I'm tapping into this koyach ruchani in my mind. Sure, the machshava is the only kli that we have to be boteach and tav emunah, but it's with bittel. Chachma is koyach matz, with bittel, like the Baal HaTanya says, that the or ein sof is not shoira on anything that is not batel umvotel betachlis habittel, which is why the Maggid of Mizrich says in the name of the Arizal that the or ein sof is mislabesh specifically through chachma d'adam kadmon, because chachma is bittel. Bittel is the kli. And if I get caught up in my thinking and I begin to think that it's my thoughts alone that are the thing that are being mamshech, so then a person gets stuck in this kind of polar opposite of the tachlis. I'm getting caught up in the ani of it all without being mevatelit to an ayin. And so the Rebbe continues, so what is it that Rabbi Nachman means? Rabbi Nachman is saying, right, so Rabbi Nachman continues, Shoshana haba tzliya b'shmiras machshavasa asher choshev. Right, the implication is that the incoming year is contingent and dependent upon the types of thoughts that I have towards this incoming year. Asher kafi machshavasa ken yamshich alav l'chol hashana l'tav l'mutav. That through the way that I think, I'm either going to have a good year or a bad year. Ein hakavana sheyesh eiza koyach la'atzmo chas v'shalom l'sasek bo. The intention of Rabbeinu is not that, God forbid, there's some spirituality inherent within the mind that contains the ability to bring me a good year or a bad year, as if my mind is going to be magdir the metzias, God forbid. As if by thinking negatively, I create this reality where negativity is now shayach to me. Ela sheha machshava hu kli. The machshava is a vessel. Asher ayidei ha-machshava ha-toyva yidavik atzmo la-Hashem Yisbarach. Through my machshava, I attach myself to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. V'yitle b'tchoyna b'Yisbarach b'tel amiti. And at that point, I can trust HaKadosh Baruch with absolute bittel. But his askus b'machshava bilti bittel la-Hashem Yisbarach. Spending time contemplating, manifesting, desiring to think what I want, and that power of my machshava is going to bring it down without the bittel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hu b'chinas iser kishuf. This is already dependent and contained within the Isser of Kishuf, within this kind of magical type of thinking that tries to manipulate reality through kochos other than the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shehirchika Torasenu HaKadoshim, he said, the Torah HaKadosh has pushed us away from that. Shehim Soivrim Lishlot B'Shefa HaBriya Al-Yidei HaMachshava. Their assumption is that they have the capacity to be shoylate on the experience in this world through my machshava. Through my machshava, that's how I'm shoylate. And this is what Chazal mean when we talk about Kishuf blocking out the light of Shemayim, because there's a hefsek beini bein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because at this point I'm a groisa sense of anoichius without any bitta whatsoever. Because by thinking that my kolchos of machshava have the capacity of drawing down the light b'fnei atzman without bittel, so my thoughts have now become the stira between me and Shemayim. Anoichi oimed beinchem ubeinechi. Right? The pasuk says that I stand in between you and me. That the sense of I, the sense of self, the sense of egoism. And again, here the egoism and the self-saturated sense of self is not one of self-aggrandizement or arrogance. It's one of machshava. It's one of beginning to believe so deeply in the kochos of my own self as if they stand outside of the absolute annihilation that is rooted in the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'tzrichim la'akrim min ha'olam, and we have to get rid of these ideas. U'levaras ha'kvira hazois min ha'aretz.
Is Ibn warning because he's saying it's fake or because it's real but it's asr to us? Which one is he saying?
I mean, kishuf is a real thing. Again, part of the reason that the Rebbe is taking this so seriously, because when the Torah asers kishuf, kishuf was a reality, right? There was a way of being Darish Mason. There was a way of seeking out, you know, spiritualism or these old ideas of, you know, and we see them coming back with very strong power. Right, that these things, whether they're real, I mean, I remember asking a question like this in Shana Aleph to a Talmud of Rav Moshe Shapiro, who learned a lot of Kabbalah. Right, he was studying the writings of the Leshem a lot, and I remember asking him, because my family had gone to Mekubalim, right, in the past when they would come to Brooklyn and they would say things about this, that, and what a person has to do, and clearly these people weren't rooted in Kedusha, because it was manipulation. So this person said to me, he says, if you eat your fingernails enough and you drink Nagelwasser long enough, you could also do magic, right? So meaning there's a koyach of ruchnius that the sitra achra that has a capacity to be medame milsa la milsa. There's certain things that these things can manifest. So there's two things here. Number one is it's simply the wrong way of thinking. It's simply the unhealthy way of thinking. Number two is that if a person is actually investing themselves deeply enough in these practices, and there is reality like that, where Jews spend a lot of time engaged in these kind of types of experiences, so then you're already talking about Isurim. You're talking about real Isurim. This is very important also, and the Rebbe spends so much time being makdish this. On a certain level, the Rebbe here is responding to two issues. This piece we can say is responding to an issue within certain zramim in Chabad Chasidus, or people who understand Chabad Chasidus in a way that the mind becomes the mechanism without the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, where the sense of self becomes so present that it's without bittul. And then in Breslov you have the issue of being magshim tzaddikim, of kind of taking the tzaddik and making the tzaddik into something physical, as if going to a tzaddik is about the individual themselves, about the personality, about this person who was born to this person, as if there's an inherent kedusha to them, devoid of the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbe has spent so much time expressing that the only kedusha shayach to tzaddikim is the hashras hashchina that takes place as a result of their bittul completely, the self-nullification necessary for being mamshich shchina. A person who is davening towards a tzaddik, God forbid, or has a misunderstanding of how the davening near a tzaddik operates. Rabbi Nachman has told us over and over, a tzaddik is a shadchan. A tzaddik is a bal tefillah. It's nothing else and nothing more. Nothing less than that either. But the Rebbe says as follows, V'chein anu tzrichim lihizayir b'inyan ha-tzadikim. We also have to be very careful when it comes to understanding the concept of tzadikim. Shaloi la'asois mehem mitzias la'atzum of chas v'shalom. Never to make out of them something self-standing, as if there's something separate and apart to themselves. Ki'ilu yesh behem koiches la'atzmam chas v'shalom. As if a tzaddik has a koyach to fix something. A tzaddik doesn't have a koyach to fix something. A tzaddik has a bittel that can be mamshich, the or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to fix something. Ela shekol inyonim hu bishvil siyua ela dveikos b'Hashem Yisbarach. The entire tachlis of the tzaddikim is to help us be medavik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'ayedei hachibor ela tzaddikim, and through our connection to the tzaddikim, yesh lanu siyua liyizkare ve'lov be'emes be'bittel Yoter, that through his kashrus to tzaddikim, we have the ability to be mevatel ourselves more and more. V'leila hafrid alufa shel olam chas v'shalom, but not to, God forbid, separate HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the picture. Ela adra b'chibur v'achdus l'Hashem Yisbarach bilvad. The ikr tachlis of a tzaddik is to be megala that all there is the Rebbeinu shel olam. Even the concept that the tzaddik has a gezerah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows it, that's because the tzaddik is masig what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon is. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is going to listen to that gezerah because the tzaddik has tapped into what that gezerah is. But not that the tzaddik is making some gezerah without bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbe says in the name of the Balei Tosvos, in the name of the Chassidei Ashkenaz rather, that the entire tachlis of a tzaddik is to teach us that no human being can be perfect. Right? So God forbid to take a tzaddik and be magshim them, or to take the koyach ha-machshava, which is the tzaddik within our own minds, and to be magshim it as if that is where the pu'ula ha-kadusha is coming from. Those are the kelim of bittel that are mamshich the or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'anu b'bitchoineinu b'Hashem Elokeinu Yisrael bilvad. We walk in the bitachon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'lo yishim davar achar chas v'shalom, and nothing else. U'metzuyavim lehispalal elav bilvad, and our tzivo is to daven directly to him. Elav v'lo yilimidoysav. Elav and not the tzaddikim. Elav and not the machshava, directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, we can't have a direct access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't matter. It's a love b'derech midosav. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself through the spheros, through the partzufim. And the tachlis is to understand the spheros and the partzufim and to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is hidden within those things, and to be medavik only to the essence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, in spite of the fact that we can't be toifes the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'yesh b'bitachon b'Hashem b'ez madregos. There are two dargos in bitachon. Madrega Aleph. The first darga is Shebotech Shiyatza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rak HaToiv B'Shvilo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to only do good for me. Af She'eni Yodea Mahu HaToiv, even though I don't know what the good is. This first shita in bitachon, the bitachon that it's not that it's definitely going to be what I want, but rather it's going to be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows is the best. This is famously the shita of the Chazon Ish in his Sefer Emunah and Bitachon, where the Chazon Ish spends time moving against what was the classical understanding of the Chovas HaLevavos in Shaar Bitachon, as well as what one can understand as the bitachon of Chasidus, which is that the other level of bitachon is it's going to be what I want. I have a bitachon that it's going to be good in the way that I desire it to be good. The Chazon Ish is saying that no. Bitachon is bitachon that whatever it is that is going to happen is going to be the very best that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, but lav dafka, is it going to be in accordance with my desires? That's the first darga. Madrega HaBeis, which is the darga of the Chovas HaLevavos and the Balei Chasidus, is Shabbateach Shayasa Hashem Yisparach Kefi Ritzono, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do what I want. And that bitachon is a higher level of Ruach HaKodesh. At that point, when a person has the bitachon amiti, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be poyel what I want, at that point, that gilui is a bitachon of Ruach HaKodesh. And be'emes, what the Rebbe has pointed out is it's not a stira. Because when a person comes to recognize that the ikar ratzon that I want is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, so then memela, whatever the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this mitzius, will uncover itself to be the second type of bitachon as well. In the beginning, I have bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to carry out his will. At the end, I have bitachon that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is what my will is. And then there's an alignment between what I want and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants.
Is it because his will is your will because your will is ultimately his will? Or his will actually becomes your will?
It's a great question. It's a great question, and I think it demands a much longer kind of distinction of levels, because there's a mission in Avos that says that batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono kadesh yivatel ritzona. I forget exactly what it is, that align your will with his will, so he'll align his will with your will. I think that over here it's saying something different. I think it's saying, meaning there's a stira, and I hopefully this will answer the question. There's two reasons that the Ari gives for the creation of the world, right? We've spoken about this. One is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reveal his ultimate yichud from potential into actualization, and one is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bestow the ultimate good. So one is called the hoitza'a min ha-koyach el ha-poel, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be megala his unity in all things, and the other is called chayk ha-toiv lehetiv, that it's the ultimate desire of the good to bestow good. And so there are many tzaddikim, or many people who wanted to make a machlokas out of this. Not so many tzaddikim did. Many people did, right? So that there's a machlokas, there seems to be. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? His unity or the ultimate good? But the real answer, Zakt Leshem, is that his unity is the ultimate good, right? The revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach is ultimately the ultimate good that a person can be masig in this world, because there's no tainug like the hisanug al Hashem, and that the tainug that a person feels. So I think over here, in the beginning, it could start off with the sense that, you know, my bitachon is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do things my way. And then what I come to realize is that in truth, whatever happens in this world is nothing but the anhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the ultimate expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yichud. And by tapping into that, I come to realize that whatever it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals in this world is the yichud which I'm searching for. Does that make sense? And so the Rebbe ends as follows. The ikar she'yispal b'simcha u'b'bitzel Hashem. But the ikar is to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha and with self-annihilation, like we spoke about before. She'ha'bitzel hu kedusha. It's not that bitzel leads to kedusha. It's not that bittul takes a person to a place where they can access kedusha. The bittul is the kedusha.
Could you define bittul?
No, but let's finish the sentence, and then we can talk about it for a second. And va'ayidei hasimcha va'abittul, through joy and bittul, yushba elav kol toiv v'rachamim gemurim, amen, kein yiratzon. So I think...